Hello and welcome to page 10. We're here with the red at the top of the page, and it says the life of Jesus. As you'll notice in this packet, lots of pages are red. As a matter of fact, the majority of this packet is red. We think red, we think the blood of Jesus, we think of the Gospels. The Gospels, there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but even though there's only four books, there's so much in here, so much about, you know, not just what happens, the plot points, the life of Jesus, but also the implications and what that means and the connections back to the Old Testament, that most of this whole packet of however many pages this is, like 55 pages, is going to be about the Gospels, the life of Jesus. Okay. And I hope that some of this stuff is a little bit familiar and you're like, okay, I kind of know that. But the goal is that we're placing it in the right place and you're seeing that no part of Jesus's life is insignificant or just like a passing through little detail, but that every single piece of the Gospels was put there for a reason, and so much of it just ties back to the Old Testament and really is only understandable in light of the Old Testament, right? So we're here kind of giving an overview of this whole section of Jesus's life, which really just means an overview of the Gospels, which we'll get into more on the next page. Go ahead and start down with the keywords. We've got a couple of things. New Adam and New Eve is our first link to the Old Testament. The Old Testament obviously has the characters Adam and Eve, and Jesus is the new Adam. Mary is the new Eve. These are names that the church has called Jesus and Mary for some time now. Now, of course, Adam and Eve were married. Jesus and Mary are, you know, son and mother, but both of them, by their yes, their sinless yes to God's plan and trust of God, redeemed the fall that Adam and Eve caused. So they're the new Adam and the new Eve, and we'll look throughout their life to see, you know, where that kind of shows up. The gospel simply means good news. That's the translated word. But when we talk about the gospels, we're talking about four books. There's four books. But all four are Gospels. They're just told from different viewpoints by different authors, four different emphases. Most of them include the same stories, as you'll see. John kind of includes his own stories sometimes, but these are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Synoptic Gospels are the three that are very similar, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John, for reasons that we'll talk about later, has slightly different stories that he tells. He's like filling in the gaps of the others. Synoptic coming from the root word synonym, meaning similar. And then John is kind of the odd man out. And then lastly, Q. Q is this interesting little situation in biblical scholar land. Okay. It comes from the German word, actually, quell, Q-U-E-L-L-E. Okay. And this is a hypothetical thing, but it's interesting because it's like a strong hypothesis. It's a lost written source that Matthew and Luke both drew from. We believe that it existed because Matthew and Luke share so much in common that it points, I guess, a strong emphasis to the fact that there is there's a source that they both drew from that, yeah, no longer exists. Okay, we're going up to the top of the page where you've got some extra space here, and I'm just going to give you a general overview, important things to note. You can feel free to write these down however much or little that you want as I'm explaining. Okay, so like I said before, there's four Gospels. The Gospels are all written about the life of Jesus. In that way, they are biographies. They are the same category, if you took the Old Testament class, as many of the books of the Old Testament, Exodus and Numbers, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. It's called historical narrative. So they're meant to be taken seriously, factually. They're not symbolic. They're not allegories. They're not fiction. These are biographies of Jesus. But each of the authors focuses on different details and different audiences to explain their points, which we'll get into in the next couple pages. Notably, the gospel writer Luke, he says in his opening line that there are many biographies of Jesus written. And so lots of these have been lost to history. These are considered non-canonical, meaning they are not in the canon of scripture that we consider the Bible. The church did not select them back when the church did select a canon of scripture in 382 at the council that they called. So it was a whole biographical writing style back then in the time. That you just, when you're writing a biography of somebody, you write down every single thing that you've ever heard about this person, and you leave it to the reader to decide what's true and what's false. Okay, Herodotus the historian is one of these guys who gives, use an example, as he's writing biographies of people, the real people in history, he's writing fact, fiction, gossip, rumor, whatever, and the reader has to sort it out, okay? But that is not the type of biographical thing that these gospels are. Okay. these guys are different. That said, there are a variety of other gospels, like Luke mentions, that are non-canonical, so they're not chosen by the church, that have wild, fanciful details that might scandalize and shock us. I'm not sure if you've heard of the Gospel of Thomas, for example, in which there's a story that the child Jesus kills one of his playmates, okay? It's not true, it's a rumor, but in the kind of biographical style popular in the day, Thomas, let's say Thomas, writing this, which, you know, we don't believe it's canonical, so we don't even know if this was the Thomas who stuck his hand in the side of Jesus. Okay, we don't know. But it makes sense. It's not like, oh, how would he ever come up with that story? It's like anything that was mentioned about Jesus was thrown into a biography. And in that style of biographical writing, it made sense. The reader is the one who's supposed to sort it out. Okay, so you can imagine that it's a little bit confusing. And it's what we consider about these non-canonical gospels is that they are really helpful to pull some information from, but they aren't true. They're like true in the sense that they aren't God's inspired word, and we don't have to believe them in the same way that we believe and uphold the selected canon of scripture, which we believe was inspired by God and written by human authors. Okay, now moving on to a couple other facts here. The Synoptic Gospels were written before 70 AD, okay? We know this for a fact, even though if you Google right now, today, in 2026, like if you Google, when were the Gospels written? There are strong arguments that people make that they were written later and put into the time they were falsified and fake, okay? But a huge, huge, huge thing happened in world history in 70 AD. Rome conquered Jerusalem and knocked down the temple. And the temple, the Jerusalem temple, the huge, big deal, if you don't know how big of a deal it is, you'll learn throughout this course. This is like the way by which the Jews worship, okay? Knocked down, it totally changes their religion. So this happens if anybody's trying to write about like pre-temple destruction time, while the temple is actually destroyed, they wouldn't be able to do it accurately, okay? This is called revisionist history, when somebody goes backwards and changes history in order to make it in their certain view. It's used to claim that the Gospels are not real. Be very wary of it. We know the Synoptic Gospels were all written before 70 AD, as well as John's Gospel, actually. Just John's Gospel was written later, but still before 70 AD. Okay, they predict, but they don't record the Jerusalem temple falling. Now, let's talk about Q a little bit more. Matthew and Luke wrote their Gospels separately. They have 235 verses that are almost line for line the same, okay? So you have to think, I guess there's this theory, you don't have to think it, that there's this other source document they both drew from, author unknown, named Q. It was named Q in the 1800s, by the way, okay? So it's like not really the name, you know, that it went by. It's not like the name is Q. It's just that this is what we call this hypothetical document. Pope Benedict the 16th, he's a big theologian, scholar. He said pretty much everybody agrees that Q existed, though it is a hypothetical document. It's not officially affirmed by the church. He said, honestly, it's not that important. It's just like a detail to explain how these gospel writers got all these facts the same, okay? Now, Luke does mention in his introduction, like I said, that he's compiling multiple sources and that multiple people have written accounts of Jesus's life. Luke himself never met Jesus, so Q does make sense that he's got some type of source document that he can read, that he can write from. Okay, just more general thoughts here. The plot of the life of Jesus, the Gospels, is roughly 0 to 33 AD. We'll get more specific into it. It's probably closer to 6 BC to 30 AD. Okay, we don't know exactly, but we can tell based on when certain characters die or when certain things happen. But we're in those kind of 30 years. That's the life of Jesus. Then Jesus ascends to heaven and the early church begins, and the book Acts of the Apostles is about the beginning of the church, still leading up to before the destruction of the Jerusalem temple, because that's not noted in there. Okay, and then at the top of your page here, you'll see there's some orange letters, Joseph, and then it says Jesus. If you did the Old Testament course, you'll see that we tracked the bloodline, which is the family from Adam and Eve all the way through the Old Testament to Jesus. Okay, so Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, he's in the bloodline. He's from the family of Adam and Eve, okay, all the way down through the firstborn sons. Most of the firstborn sons. Some sons stole the birthright, some sold it, sometimes it was transferred. So it wasn't always the firstborn, but it was always in the family. And the birthright means that you're in the bloodline that was passed on and on and on. And though it was lost track of a little bit during the Maccabean revolts and such, It went underground, but we still know that Joseph was from the tribe of Judah. He was from the house of David, and he was in the bloodline. And then comes to him Jesus. So Jesus is in the bloodline through Joseph. There is a fun little caveat here that there is some belief that Mary is also in the bloodline, so that Jesus actually has double parentage in the bloodline. This isn't dogmatic, but Ignatius of Antioch and Justin Martyr both claim that Mary was from the tribe of Judah, line of David too, which is cool because Joseph was the foster father of Jesus, but Mary was the biological mother of Jesus. So very cool to have like both sides of the family, right? Some scholars argue that the genealogy in the Gospel of Luke records Mary and tracks Mary's bloodline from the line David's son Nathan, and that the genealogy in Matthew tracks the genealogy of Joseph. So, you know, there's different schools of thought here. What we'll find in the New Testament, if this frustrates you, I'm sorry, is that we don't have certain answers for everything. Different scholars agree or disagree and are in different camps, and the church doesn't dogmatically rule on every little thing, like is Mary in the bloodline or not, because the church really is slow to dogmatically rule. Because dogma of the Catholic Church is something that the faithful have to believe. This is part of our faith. So we don't add to it unless it's really, really necessary and it's been called into question and there's a reason for the church to clarify her stance. Okay, so, you know, a lot of things that I'll teach, I'll say, you know, this is what certain people think, this is what certain people think, this is what I think, but you, unless the church defines it directly, you don't have to think one way or the other. It would be good for you to do your own research if you're like, I don't know what I think about this, and you want to get deeper into it. So Mary, maybe for you, you're already there on this page, that Mary, is she in the bloodline? You want to do some deeper research? You go for it. Otherwise, we're done here with page 10, and we're going to actually get into more about the Gospels in the next page. See you there.